First Samuel will be in chapter 18 today. I want us to look at the contrast between of Jonathan and Saul. Saul, of course, Jonathan's father. But we see with David, they took two different paths, Jonathan and Saul did, on how they felt about David. Saul obviously was threatened. We see his hatred and envy and fear all play into the rest of his life. And then Jonathan, who was actually the one being the most impacted by David being the anointed one, he had a completely different perspective on it, a different feeling about David than Saul did. And we see it here in chapter 18, and really over the next several chapters. But we'll focus in on chapter 18 today, starting in verse number 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out with whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, "Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. So we see this coming out of the David and Goliath, and there's more to the story. If you go back to chapter 17, verse 55, Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine. He said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Whose son is this?" And he said, "I cannot tell." He goes on to figure out it's the son of Jesse. If you look in verse number 58, and Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." We see the reacquaintance, this getting to know David, this Saul and David's relationship was already interesting, to say the least. But we see here now, after the slaughter of Goliath, where David is going to give, Saul is going to give David some responsibility. He's going to reward him for what he did with Goliath. And with that reward, because he was deserving of it, by the way, came fame. And with the fame came the envy that Saul had for David. But Jonathan, like I said, just his heart was different than Saul's in many ways. But we see it here in the first four verses. And that's what I want to focus in on Jonathan's relationship with David, his love for David here in these first four verses. And I think when we see it, we see that it says there that Saul and David had spoken there, and Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, there are people who try to pervert this verse and verses in regards to that, and the Bible does not mean that and does not in any way ascribe to that. But what you have here is a brotherly love, a love that David and Jonathan built a bond. I compare it to twins. That's not biblical, it's just my opinion. But the connection that twins have is different than the connection that the average brother and sister have, or brother and brother have, or whatever it may be, siblings. Yes, brothers and sisters or siblings always love each other, and they're always going to fight, and they're always going to have whatever. But twins, there's something unique about that. They spend all that time together in the womb. They're just so closely knit, so closely connected. And I don't know if you've experienced this, But it seems like to me, twins, they just have a different relationship than your average siblings have. And I think that just the way that we read about it, that's kind of the way that that I read this, is the love that Jonathan had for David. It says his own soul, which obviously you love yourself more than anybody. And I look at it kind of as this connection that twins have with each other, which is kind of they are of the same mind, and they have this this love and this bond that is so unique. And Jonathan and David had this bond, and it just connected with them. David was a bold person. We just read about his approach to Goliath. He was a warrior. The Bible tells us a couple of different times he was a man of war. He's a valiant man. He was a warrior. He was ultimately a leader, David was. His personality was. He grabbed the attention of everyone. When he walked out in that field and called out Goliath and said, you know, today the Lord's going to hand you over. And ultimately cut off Goliath's head and held it up for everyone to see. That's a leader move right there. And I believe that his actions, his personality, his charisma, his boldness, it was just, Jonathan was a leader too. And we'll learn more about Jonathan in the chapters to come, but Jonathan, first of all, he was the prince. He was the next in line to be king. And from everything that we read about Jonathan, we just see, I believe Jonathan was a leader. And I think that him and David, I think their personalities were such as they just kind of, they both admired each other for somewhat different reasons. But obviously Jonathan looks at David and goes, man, this guy just went down there. He just called out the giant. He just beat the giant and got us this massive victory. Obviously, someone who's not Saul looks at that and goes, man, this guy is awesome. Like, he is really cool. And then I don't know if you've ever thought that about someone, like, man, that person's really cool. And then you got to know them and you became friends with that person. Then all of a sudden you're like, wow, like, this is awesome. Not only is he cool, but he's friends with me. And now hopefully you grow out of that. But here, Jonathan and David, they just clicked. It says that their souls were knit together here. And we see this love here from Jonathan. I think two strong leaders. It makes me think of, and I know I do this too often, but a movie, and there's a football movie, and there's a race issue on the team. It's the old days in Alabama, and there's a race issue on the team, and the white players and the black players don't get along at first, and all this kind of stuff, and eventually, as they play, they begin to love each other and their teammates, and then all of a sudden you start getting this chant, strong side, left side, and everybody gets excited, and they're all pumped up, and they start to come together as a team. Jonathan and David very quickly came together as a team. They, you know, ultimately, I'm not sure what Jonathan knew at this point, and we don't know, even Saul doesn't know to this point who David is technically, but David is going to be the guy who's taking the throne from Saul that in Saul's mind belongs to Jonathan. Well, it belongs to Saul first and then Jonathan next. And David is going to be jumping in line and taking that throne because that's what God wanted him to do. Jonathan, we don't see Jonathan ever look at David the way that Saul looks at David. Saul looked at David as a threat, and we're going to look at that in a second. Jonathan never did that. And Jonathan just truly loved David. And he, in verse number 3, they make a covenant here because he loved him as his own soul. Reading up on this, the covenant is basically becoming family. They're brothers for life. They decided that they were going to work together. They were going to be friends to each other, and it was more than just a hey, you want to be friends? It was more than that. Like, this is a covenant that they made together that they were going to uphold as well. And we see this covenant come to life, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. But verse number 4, Jonathan gives him his robe. He gives him his garment, his sword, his bow, his girdle, which would hold the sword. This was an incredibly high honor. This is something that didn't happen very often. In Esther, we read about a very similar situation. Esther 6:8, they call and say, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear. So you're taking royal clothes, royal equipment, and giving it over to someone. And that day and time, that honor was the highest of honors. We saw Saul do this with his armor before Goliath, right? And now Jonathan does this, and he says, here, have this royal apparel, and you wear it. And it just shows the honor that's giving and bestowing here to David. But we see the brotherhood play out a little bit. Look in chapter 19. Let's look at the first several verses of chapter 19. Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that will I tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood, to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. So we see now Jonathan going to bat for David. Saul tells everybody, I want you to kill David. And Saul says, Dad, doesn't this sound familiar, by the way, thinking ahead to the New Testament? Says, Dad, why should we kill David? He's not done anything wrong. As a matter of fact, God used David to bring salvation to our people. And when he did, you were happy about it. So why would you go and sin against David? Innocent blood without a cause. And he talks Saul, for the time being, out of killing David. It's because he loved David. I don't know that Jonathan would have done this with just anybody. He may have. He may have had a good enough heart where he would have said if an innocent person was going to be killed. It makes me think if Jonathan would have been around longer when David was in the palace and he sent someone to the front lines to be killed, I wonder if Jonathan would have said, David, what are you doing? I think he would have, but that's just an opinion. Again, it's not in the Bible. Jonathan's dead before that Bathsheba and Uriah moment. But nonetheless, here he stops Saul from killing David. Then in chapter 20, which is probably the more well-known situation, we're not going to read all of it. It's pretty much the whole chapter. But in chapter 20, Jonathan, same thing. Saul wants to kill David. Jonathan tells David, you go hide out here. I'm going to shoot some arrows. You listen for the message. You'll know if you need to run or if you can stay. And ultimately, Saul had determined that he was going to kill David. And Jonathan warned David so David could flee. And verse 17 of chapter 20 says, Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, and for he loved him as he loved his own soul. And so he goes on and tells them what to do from there. So we see this covenant that Jonathan and David made really stick throughout Jonathan's life. And Jonathan protected David from his own father. Ultimately, God was doing the protecting, but ultimately protecting David so that he could take the throne, in which at that moment, humanly speaking, you would say Jonathan was supposed to have. And I think it's intriguing with Jonathan. We probably don't talk about him enough. But Jonathan, he cared more about people, and specifically David, than he did about his own outcome. I think Jonathan loved Saul. I think Jonathan loved his dad. I think Jonathan probably enjoyed being the prince. There's a lot of good things that come with that. I believe Jonathan loved his nation. But Jonathan looked out for David. He promised that he would, and he fulfilled it because Jonathan loved David. Now, Saul, on the other hand, is the exact contrast of Jonathan. And I find it always just sad when the child is better than the parent. Like, the parent's supposed to be the leader, the teacher, the example, and when the child ends up being that example for the parent, it's just kind of saddening. It's good. It's good that the child is that way, but sad for the parent on the parent aspect of things. But we see Saul's envy here. Verse number 5, the Bible says that David behaved himself wisely. And this comes up a couple times here with David in his dealings with Saul. David acted wisely. Saul acted foolishly. Who comes out looking better? David does. How many times have you known someone? I'm sure not you. How many times have you known someone who someone else did something smart and someone else got envious because of it? That person did what they were supposed to do. They acted wisely. They made good decisions and they were rewarded for it. And then someone over here is just angry about it. And that's really what David and Saul, their relationship became to some degree. Now, again, David wasn't perfect. We're going to look at it next week, a little bit more of some of David's faults even in these moments. But we see Saul acting foolishly, David acting wisely. In verse number 8, it says, Saul was very wroth with the saying, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? David was used by God to beat Goliath. I hesitate to say it this way. I think that Saul asked God and said, God, will you give me the victory over Goliath? That there was a chance he would have, although at this time we'd already seen Saul's disobedience and we'd seen the leaving of God from him and all that kind of thing. So that's the only reason I'm hesitant behind that. David here, he says, God can beat this giant. And he went down and he defeated the giant, and then the people prevailed over the Philistines and all this kind of thing. And so when they come into town here, their celebration and they're chanting, and they say that David has killed 10,000s while Saul has thousands. Saul had done more battle than David up to this point. And Saul had success to a degree as well. But Saul here as the king, this is where we see the ego of Saul, the disheartening of Saul, the evil spirit that came on Saul. We see it all here, and it just builds from this point forward. And he doesn't celebrate the success, because all he can see is that he's coming for my throne. He says, what more can he have but the kingdom? He already has the love and adoration of the people. So what else? The next thing that he's going to take is my throne. Saul knew he was not going to be on the throne forever. Saul knew his son was not going to take the throne because Samuel had already told him. And he just looks at David and he says, all the people love him. He's very kingly. And he's valiant. And he's a warrior and all these things. What more? And so he gets envious of the success and of the love that David is receiving. And then in verse number 11, it says, Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided it out of his presence twice. We see the story of Saul being angry. He called David in to play the harp, and as he had done before, and Saul was so angry and so mad at David, so envious of David, he says, I'm going to nail him to the wall. Throws his javelin, he misses, and it says twice here David was able to avoid out from behind him. Then look in verse 12, Saul was afraid of David. Why? Because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Now again, I come back to what we talked about last week a little bit. Saul did not hate David because David was successful. He was envious, yes. But ultimately what drew Saul to the desire of having to make sure David dies is the fear that God was with David and had departed from him. Now Saul had seen what can be done when God's with you, because there was a time where God was with Saul. And knowing that God was with David, the Goliath situation, the people loving him, Saul knew that David was going to take. Now, Saul didn't know how David was going to take the throne. I would guess, and again, this is my opinion, I think we see parts of this in the story, but Saul, I would assume, would thought David was going to overthrow him, which was usually bad for the king that gets overthrown. Not fully comprehending who God was and the kind of God that God is, Here the fear came. Verse 15 says, "Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him." Saul got the picture. But the fear came from God being with David and not being with Saul. And watching David behave himself wisely, and I believe it's fair to say godly in these moments, that Saul just became very fearful for what that meant for his own life. Not just his throne, but for his life. Because like I said, if you overthrow a king, typically that king dies. And Saul, we know that God, when he left, the evil spirit came, and there were times where Saul dealt with this, and I've heard it described in many different ways, but the Bible says an evil spirit came on Saul, and his mood and his attitude and his actions just got so dark. And Saul, in clarity, was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, and he had departed from Saul. Okay, so what can we learn from this? It's a great story. Oh, it's really neat. 3 javelins and he missed, and David, you know, succeeded, and all this kind of stuff. Jonathan loved him. All that's great. Wonderful. Okay, should it not put fear in our lives if God is not moving in our life? When we see someone else who God is working in their life, and God is with them, and clearly with them, what should our response to it be? Now, unlike Saul, it's not that God has left us, departed from us. It's that we are not living in a way in which God is working through us. And we can seek God and say, "God, I need you." And God will be there. He says, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, "I'm near. Wherever you reach, I'm there. I'm close by. And I'm just waiting for you to call." And Saul's fear was, God's going to use David, and God's going to bless David. Well, you know, we shouldn't have the mindset of, man, that God's using that person, God's blessing that person. It should not be a matter of us looking down on them or envious on them. It should be a matter of us getting on our knees and saying, "God, I want that too." If David behaved himself wisely, why can't I behave myself wisely? I mean, I should, and I can. And I need to. But what we see is, and we'll look at it next week, but what we see is David loses some of that wise action very soon after. And he makes some mistakes. We think about the big mistakes that David makes as king, but he makes mistakes before that too. And he does some things out of fear. We're not supposed to live in fear. For God does not give us the spirit of fear. And so we have to live a life that, as it's put by David, or for David here, is that what's the exact wording that they use? Behaved himself wisely. That's really where we need to be. Because we'll see next week, when you don't behave yourself wisely, there's some interesting consequences for David. Although maybe not the same consequences, we'll see that it causes more problems than helps in any way. So we can learn from Jonathan to love people. We can learn from David in this passage to behave wisely and follow God. And we can learn from Saul that when we are against the movement of God in someone else's life, it causes us a lot of heartache. And a lot of just dark moments as well. So we'll look at David next week as well. We'll look at David for several weeks. But next week we'll look at his travels to, is it Nob, Noab? I forget now. We'll look at that, him getting the Goliath's armor and his running, his crazy moment. It's a fun story. We'll look at it next week though. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for letting us be here today. Thank you for your word and how it helps us. Lord, help us to behave wisely. Help us to seek your help to help us prevail over sin. And Lord, just guard our hearts and our minds and help us to seek you and love you. Lord, we're thankful that you're able.
And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us. Help with the other needs that we have this week as well. And, Lord, provide for them. And, Lord, we pray that you'd bring us back together safely in the days ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.